Thought for today. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, bringing you a thought for today. Today. Appearances. Wow, what appearances. Fools chatter about their many attributes. The wise keep such within. A piece of straw floats upon the surface of the water. A precious gemstone sinks to the bottom. Therefore, it is best to disregard the seen and concentrate upon the unseen. Only within the latter may riches be found. We're always looking for riches in the seen. We're always looking for riches in ways that we can make money. In fact, I get requests for giving me thousands and millions of dollars every day on my computer, and I think that's very nice. But I also know that that isn't the way it works. Money isn't given to you like that. Money is given to you more like this. One of our students was in prison, and his father was at home alone, and his older man in Minnesota, and he had to till his garden. And he lived alone. He wanted to spade his potato garden, but it was hard work, and his only son, who would have helped him, was in prison. And the boy's father wrote him a letter and mentioned his predicament. Shortly, the boy answered his dad and said, "Whatever you do, Dad, don't dig up that garden. That's where I buried the loot. That's where I buried the stash that I stole and that I'm in prison for." At 4 a.m. the next morning, a dozen police showed up, dug up the entire garden without finding anything of value. Confused, the father wrote to his son and said, "What's all this all about? What's going to happen next?" And the boy replied to his father, "Well, Dad, now plant your potatoes. It's the best thing I could do for you at this time." The best thing I could do for you at this time. So, you see, life has many strange things. The appearances aren't always there. The police thought they were so astute, hearing this letter from this son to his father saying the loot was buried in the yard, and the son had to be an idiot to say such a thing, but the police were not going to go by any possible clue. And so they dug up the yard, the whole garden. It had happened to be measured as a garden. They had had it as a garden before, but dug up the whole garden and found nothing. But the old man had his garden dug up and spaded up for him. Now he could plant his potatoes. You see, sometimes we jump to appearances and we do things. Little children, they come in and say, "Mommy, I hate you." And mommy says, "Well, what seems to be the matter?" And the kid explains. And it's not that he hates his mother, he's just unhappy with the world. Other children come in and they say, "Oh, all the world's chasing me." And you go outside and there's just one little boy with his dog chasing after him. The appearances of life are not always what they seem to be. Ellen tells us about her turns with the law. She seemed to have a lot of experiences with the law, with her driving and her tickets and her other things, and she was slow in learning how to put the cause in motion. And what's the first cause in motion when you get tickets for speeding? Is it that you don't get tickets for speeding, or that you go to the foot doctor and have half of your foot cut off so that you have a reduced weight on your foot because you got a lead foot? And you want to reduce that pressure on the foot there, reduce that weight, and drive according to the speed limit. And even that isn't but right all the time. You don't always drive according to the speed limit because it may be raining and sleeting and hailing and snowing, and you're driving the speed limit, which is your right to drive, but not in that kind of weather. You have to always drive in a way that is suitable for the car's ability to operate and function, and your ability to operate and function. People who are having emotional problems and start driving, and they're crying and they're having this emotional problem, they shouldn't be driving. They should pull over and stop until it subsides, because they could be blinded by not paying attention to what's going on. They could be so angry in their heart over what their problem is that they don't see what's going on the road. We oftentimes wonder why it is when we're youngsters we have one experience, and when we're older we have another experience. When we're youngsters, we have magic in our hearts and we see things beautifully, but our parents teach us lessons and the world teaches us lessons, and we don't always hear it. Somehow later we get wind of it and we say, oh. That's the same thing with reading classical literature. When you reread a classic, you do not see more in the book than you did before. You see more in you than was there before, because you're changed and you're reading that beautiful literature that you read before through new eyes. Now, we want to look at the world through new eyes. We want to look at the world through new attitudes. We want to look at the world through a new expression. Here at the monastery, we are encouraged to look at the world through new expressions all the time. Our tendency is to look at the world as the world looks at itself, and that's not fair to the world. What we want to do is to look at the world as we want to look at the world. How do we look at the world as we want to look at the world? We look at the world as a joyous, happy, wonderful circumstance. We look at our bodies and we say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. My mind is clear, alert, and brilliant. My mind is clear, alert, and brilliant. Why do we say things like that? We know we have befuddled minds. We know that we don't understand all the things we'd like to understand. We know when we're facing problems, they sometimes seem to overwhelm us. And yet we're going to say, I have a clear, alert, brilliant mind. And we're lying to ourselves. We're lying to ourselves. You say to a child, 2 times 2 is 4. The child says, no. You say, well, just say it and believe it. But that's lying, because I don't believe it. I don't believe 2 times 2 is 4. I don't know what 2 times 2 is, but it ain't 4. Well, that's what it is. Now, you just trust me. I know mathematics, especially the lower level of mathematics. So you just trust me that 2 times 2 is 4. But I don't believe it. Well, just trust me. Just say it, believe it, practice it, and you'll find that you'll get the right answer. So the child works then. He says 2 times 2 is 4. And the more he says that 2 times 2 is 4, the more he comes to the realization that maybe it is. Maybe it is. If 2 times 2 is not 5, and it's 4, if 2 times 3 is 6, and 2 times 2.5 is 5, well, how did the half get in there? Well, you got to have the halves to make the whole. What's 3 times 1? What's 3 minus 1 plus 4 divided by 6? And you see, you learn to think in increments. You learn to think beautifully. And then you don't really think. You don't really think. The answer is right there. When someone says 2 times 2 is 4, right in your mind, bang, it stands out like a beacon saying 4. When you say 2,455,000 divided by 8, immediately the answer is in your mind. It's in your mind because your computer has that all figured out. You don't believe it. And so you don't look there and accept it. You believe in the appearances that you've got to use a sheet of paper, or you've got to use a computer, or you've got to use a contometer or something else, an adding machine, to figure this out. And this is what we tell ourselves. This is what society tells us. Now, here's an illustration. This young man is able to figure wonderful figures in his head. He's very, very, very good. He happens to be your best friend. And you're with this young person all the time. You're young, and you're with this young person all the time. And this person just instantly figures it out, instantly has the answer, instantly. And you say to him, how do you do that? And he says, oh, I just ask the question, 2 times 2 is 4, what's the answer? And boom, there it is. It's right there in my mind. Now you try it too. Well, okay, 2 times 2 is 4. You know, 2 times 2 is what? Boom, there it is. It stands right out in front of you, the answer. And practice, practice. Your friend says, you can do it, come on now. You can do it, you can imagine what the number is, you can imagine what the result is. That's his area, which is mathematics. And how did he do it? He just believed that the answer he saw was correct. He believed that the answer he saw was correct. He believed in himself. He believed in his first thought. He believed in his first response. And it was right, of course. You and I, by the time we get down to a 4th, 5th, 20th response, then we start thinking, maybe we ought to believe it. But then it's a little late. We've gone through the mill in a lot of other ways up to that time. Disbelief, belief, disbelief, belief, disbelief. We want to train ourselves like the young man who is a wizard at mathematics. He just says, first off, his computer is working up here. Your computer is working up here. But you don't believe it. We have taught ourselves not to believe it. And so we don't believe it. Whereas if, and to believe doesn't mean that belief makes it so. It just means have confidence in it. Have confidence in the answer that you have in your head. Have confidence in your first thought and learn to give your first thought. Learn to respond to your first thought. Learn to act upon your first thought. And when you act upon your first thought, it always works. Now the son was in prison and his dad needed help to dig the garden. The son had no way of helping his dad. He couldn't send any friends over or anything else. So he did the most natural thing that a prisoner has on his mind. Things that are prison-wise. And he said, Dad, don't dig up the garden because that's where I buried the loot. Well, he knows that the prison mail is read by the officers, and the officers are going to report this to the authorities that are in charge, and the authorities in charge are going to go and dig up the garden and see where that loot is. Now, he didn't tell them to do that. He didn't tell them, but of course he knew they would because he knew the machinations of the law's mind. And he knew that they would operate in just that way, and they did. You see? Now, you know that straw, which is not worth very much, does float on the surface of the water. And you know that gemstones and gold and things of great value, they sink to the bottom. Can you think of anything at all, that has great value that doesn't weigh a little bit? Thoughts, of course, but thoughts are not physical. Thoughts are the invisible. And we must learn to live and think and act in the invisible, because the invisible is what brings us the results. We want to live and work and act in the invisible realm, because on the invisible realm, that's where the adding machine of the mathematician is. He says 2 times 2 is 4, cling, 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 boom. Up comes the answer 4. You do it too on a lower level. Now we can start doing it on a higher level. And we can start doing it on I know that I know that I know. Now, if you wish to play this game, and I don't recommend it, but if you wish to play this game, it has the same function as anything else. Sylvia, what's the winning lottery number of tomorrow's winning lottery?
5, 6, 8, 12, 13.
Oh, I see. It's a series of numbers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't play it, so I don't know it. Okay. 5, 6, 12, 8, 13. All right. So now, that's the first number that popped off her mind. She didn't stop to try to figure out what the number was. She just revealed it as it came to her consciousness. Now, do you remember that? Do you remember that? Ha, 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 ha. You see, when you say it, you have to write it down right away because that's the first thought, you know, and then other thoughts come clicking in after that and you forget it. 5, 6, 12, 8, 13, right?
5, 8, 12, 5, 6, 12, 13.
5, 6, 12, 8, 13. You see, you're wrong already because you're starting to try to be logical about it. And so, check it. Who knows what you're going to come up with? Some beautiful things.
Hmm? Buy a ticket.
Well, whatever. We have a lot to be in charge of in our life, don't we? We have a lot of things that are important to us and a lot of things that are very valuable to us. But do we pay attention to them? Do we give them the power that they deserve? Do we give them the awareness that they deserve? Do we give them the thought that they deserve? And the answer basically is no. And why don't we give them the thought they deserve? Because it's too simple. It's too easy. It's much too easy to not give it the thought. And it's much too easy to say, I don't know. To say, I don't know, is something we're taught from early on. If you don't know it, say you don't know it. But rather than say you don't know it, if you don't know it, say, I know that I know it. And then say something. Because quite likely, when you say, I know that I know, and you think it in yourself, you don't have to say it out loud, you know that you know, and then say whatever it is that you think you know, you're quite likely to be right. So think about these things. Act upon these things. Work upon these things and have fun. Because that's what life is all about. Simple little solution to the man who needed his garden dug. His son did his best. The first thought that came to his mind. What sinks the gold? What sinks the gems? What floats the useless straw? Are you ready? What are the appearances that you're putting in your mind? Are you putting the appearances that you know, that you know, that you know? Anything you wish to know? If that's true, go for it. Because that's what life is all about. And you are all about life. And I love you very, very much. And I know you love me.